Off the Ball Breakfast.
The thing Hamer always said, when I took on this Ireland gig, the one thing I could be sure about was there's going to be a bit of dog in them. Then I realised there was no dog in them.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, we've got former Springboks captain John de Villiers joining us on the line from 7:30 to look ahead to Leinster versus the Bulls in the URC final this Saturday. From 8 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Mike Quirk and Cullen Boyle to preview the final round of group fixtures in the All-Ireland Football Championship across this weekend. And then after 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Nathan and by Gavin Cooney of the 42 to look back on the Republic of Ireland's pair of draws over the last 4 or 5 days. And we're also, after 9 o'clock, going to be chatting to Dr. Paul Kerwin, who's going to give us some insight into the role of the physiotherapist with Gaelic football teams in a changing landscape. He's also worked with Bohemians in the past as well, so we'll be interested to get his take on changing between football and Gaelic games and what the differences are there in the physiology of the players. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill will be delivering the news round very shortly. Cameron, how are you doing?
Good evening, Owen.
Richie McCormick is here. Richie, how are you?
Young Owen, how are you?
Very well. So we were talking about this 24 hours ago when we turned on the television and we saw The Simpsons on instead of the Republic of Ireland build-up. It's become a bit of a talking point, the lack of a studio broadcast for the Republic of Ireland game. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of that with Nathan and with Gavin a little bit later on. Some have said it's a bad indictment for Irish football. Okay. Others have said it's a bad indictment for the panel. Capital right. T, capital okay. P, and what it says about the future of the panel. And I don't know, I think we've got the most knowledgeable person regarding the panel here in studio with us today, Richie. So I said to myself, we can do nothing to start the show this evening other than to get you to pick your five-a-side team. And by five-a-side team, what I mean is host, senior pundit, junior pundit, main commentator and co-commentator. In a football world, what is your dream five-a-side team? Now, it can only be five. I see Rio Ferdinand picked his Mount Rushmore of centre midfielders there the last day and picked six people. So when I say five, it is five.
Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is that, Rio? Five. Host, Des Lynam. Like, cool as you like. Unruffleable. Senior analyst, Gilesy.
There really only could be one option there.
Yeah, there is. In fairness, I go with Giles and Dunphy there. Because
so does he have to be junior? Are you concerned that there'd be a power struggle on the team and they want to be senior? Chain of command.
Senior could be Alan Hansen, for instance.
But you couldn't put Hansen and Giles together. That's too many seniors.
There is too many
in that studio. Yeah.
You need a hierarchy there.
You do
need a hierarchy there. Same way with like Hansen and Lawrenson. Lawrenson was clearly the junior partner to Hansen. So yeah, Giles and Dunphy.
Yeah,
commentator Barry Davis. Because
your fave,
of course. I'm trying to think of co-coms, and I don't want to do down those who I work alongside on a regular basis. Obviously enough on off the ball.
They're still carving out their careers.
They are indeed. Young whippersnappers like Brian Kerr still have a lot to prove in this game. Co-com. I don't know. Trevor Brooking was always a good one on BBC back in the day. Always liked the work of David Pleat. Great co-com. I don't know if you're allowed to say this anymore. Andy Gray. Phenomenal in terms of adding colour to a game and adding just a little bit of extra.
Separate the art from the artist.
Exactly. Yeah. And another great one. I've always enjoyed the work of Jim Beglin as a co-com.
And still do
when I come across his work in places. I don't know who to pick as a co-com. I'll go with Jim just to even it out.
So Jim and Barry Davis.
It's a good combo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Lovely.
John and Eamon.
Yeah.
And Dez.
Yeah.
That's a good five-a-side team.
Yeah, I'll settle for that.
It's tasty.
Any qualms with that, Cameron?
No.
Big shout out to Elton Wellesby, by the way, who is possibly in third in behind Bill for the shout of the host.
If somebody needs a night off, then Elton, he can step in.
Elton was great.
You're not putting Rob Hudson in there?
No.
God. That's great for the colour alone.
Ray Hudson, was it?
Ray Hudson, sorry.
I was something thinking Hudson. That's who you meant.
Who the hell? It's like, wow, Cameron's come with something niche here. It turns out it made him up.
Barry Davis and Ray Hudson would be an interesting combination, to be fair. That's how you have like a workplace issue immediately.
Somebody shared a clip today of, it was from Euro 88 and Spain, Denmark. and you could hear Barry talking off mic. He was trying to figure out who had been brought on as a substitute at the start of the second half, just as Emilio Butragueño goes through on goal and scores. And he's like, you can hear him going, give me a hand for Christ's sake. Tell me who's come on. He's like, oh, Butragueño! it's a lovely 15 seconds of telly.
Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to pick apart Richie's five-a-side team. We've got an early text in here for you, Richie. Brian Wilson, RIP. Is there going to be an OTB Richie McCormack montage in the works?
I'm sure there will be down the line, yeah. I'll be using his work heavily. You can't say enough about him. An incredible composer, incredibly gifted songwriter, a magician in many ways. Saw him, I think, four times. Saw him at Oxygen, saw him in Vicar Street, saw him in Galway, and somewhere else. God, incredible, absolutely incredible. And brilliant work. Go and listen to like that run of albums that he had, where essentially they were broken down. Smile was broken down into like Smiley Smile and Wild Honey and all that. But that run from mid 60s on into early 70s, with like Surf's Up as well at the end of it, is something else.
So he was mostly touring solo for that point.
Well, like he wasn't touring with them. They get Bruce Johnson out on the road instead of him. He hated touring. So his work was largely done in the studio. And by work, I mean, it's just like he was acting as a composer, producer in the studio. He'd sing, obviously, in there too, and he'd play some bass, but his work was done in the studio, which is why you ended up with brilliant pieces like Pet Sounds.
Okay. We will get around to hearing
some sort of stone in the 1 week. It's hard to take.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, we appreciate you being here with us on a week like
Thank
this.
You.
But there's got to be an OTB montage, as that texture says, at some point down the line. In tribute to him. Plenty coming in on the five-a-side team as well. Declan, co-commentator, the late Jimmy Armfield. And then Patrick says, what? No, Peter Collins, for shame.
I like Peter Collins.
Yeah.
I read that Peter Collins is a consummate professional. Genuinely, people kind of like have often kind of joked about it. Peter Collins is a really good host. Try doing what Peter Collins does. No, Peter Collins, good show. Yeah. Not tonight.
So keep them coming in. And the news round is here with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, we had some of this.
People ask me my toughest opponent, and I always say Paul O'Connell is probably the toughest I've played against. And again, so much respect. Love spending time with Paul away from the field as well, having a beer, talking to him, a fantastic guy as well.
And we also had this.
It's not going to happen, but it is a bit of a mad system when you think that Leash could win an All-Ireland this year and not be in the competition next year. Like,
wow, I never thought about it like that.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.
Cameron Hill, where are we going to start?
We'll start with Ulster GAA's president Michael Gagan saying there's now growing momentum and belief after the UK government today pledged that €59 million to the redevelopment of Casement Park. That move comes as part of the UK Chancellor's spending review, which allocates money to public services for the next 3 years. So currently rebuilding the West Belfast ground is estimated to cost around €307 million. €142 million is being stumped up by the Stormont executive, the Irish government and the GAA collectively. So that still leaves a shortfall of €106 million. Charlie McConnellog, who's the Minister for Sport and Postal Policy, was speaking to our own Rachel Sheehan today at the Sport Ireland Women in Sport funding announcement, and he gave his thoughts on how the parties involved can bridge that remaining gap in funding.
Primarily now that it'll be something for the GAA to consider in relation to the funding commitments they have and what is possible within that and how they can step the project forward. Certainly the Irish government wants to see the project proceed. We want to see Antrim have a home ground, but also Belfast have Casement Park very much part of its sporting offering. It has played a massive role in the history of the GAA in the island and in Northern Ireland, and we want to see it play a really important role of the GAA and the sporting future of Northern Ireland too, and that's why we put such a strong Irish government commitment to that, and we look to see how we can continue to support that now in terms of its development.
Well, Northern Ireland's First Minister Michelle O'Neill believes today's announcement is a positive.
So now it's time to use this. This is a momentous moment in terms of the project itself, and this is now an opportunity for us to work together as partners. Let's everybody get together and actually make sure that Casement is delivered in the same way that the soccer stadium and rugby were also delivered in the past. I don't want one to take away from the other. This is all investment in sport. This is a good thing and a good news story.
Yeah, like that is a thing. It's part of a triumvirate of stadiums that were planned at the same time, and the Gaelic Games stadium is the one that's got left behind. Like, I did feel that the Euros in 2028 was going to be the moment that this thing got accelerated to the next level, and obviously it's not going to happen in time for that, but like, you still look at something like a bridging of the gap financially and you would be naturally sceptical, but the sounds that we've heard there are largely positive.
Is the, my question is a quarter of a billion pound or euro stadium necessary for a GAA ground in Belfast? I have no doubt, and I 100% agree, that in some form Caseman Park needs to be rebuilt and Belfast needs to have a really recognisable hub of Gaelic Games in the city, because it's been without one for so long. But the plans that were put in place for Casement, on which this budget I think was based, was they're really, like, it was a really fancy looking stadium, and I think the capacity for it was pretty big, and the scope of the build was a large one too. I'm just surprised that there hasn't been, now that Euro 2028 is out of the way, there hasn't been a slightly more reasonable scaling back of the project to what it only really needs to be. Because you're talking about a city that already has Windsor Park and already has Kingspan Stadium, Ravenhill. Like, do you, like, what reality is it, like, is there, are you going to see that stadium at Caseman Park, and how frequently is it going to be used, and how frequently are you going to get the proper and adequate use out of it?
Well, the one thing is that it is bad news for Clonus patrons. I mean, all those matches will essentially move to Caseman Park in terms of Ulster finals. I do think, as a country, as an island in general, we're not great at utilising stadiums between sports. And then when you get into the weeds of Belfast, it becomes even more complicated to use facilities for multiple sports. So it seems like a difficult task, but that should have been a question that should have been asked 10, 15 years ago.
Decades ago. And I know, there is a sense of a year zero in Northern Ireland when you have to go back to the late 90s and the Good Friday Agreement and the abilities that gave the entire region. Like, that's the reality of that situation up there. But again, you need a bit of joined up thinking, and you need stadia to serve multiple purposes, because with the best one in the world, how often is Caseman Park going to be used to its maximum capacity? Not very. You know, that's just the reality of it. You will have, you know, Antrim games in there. You'll have Ulster finals in there, in football in particular. But beyond that, how many times a year you're going to fill it?
It's a,
they're expensive things to just have sitting there, as Cork will tell you.
Yeah. It's a fair question. Like, when I went up there to do a piece a few years ago, the real thing that kind of struck home with me is that Gaelic Games in Belfast needs a home, and it's as important for the underage finals in Antrim, for example, to be played in Caseman Park, where you'd have a tiny fraction of the stands actually being used. It's just a home for Gaelic Games in that city, and in that place.
I agree. 100% agree that it needs one. Just to the scale what Caseman Park has been planned to be, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We will also see if that actually happens in the time frame that we're being told, and whether or not that shortfall actually will be made up. And, like, I mean, there is also the question of inflation, if there are further delays to it, and will, you know, 59 million euro from the UK government actually need to be a bigger figure as well if things are delayed further. So, not going to be the final time we chat about Casement, or the last time it'll be in our sports headlines, that's for sure. You are bringing us on to rugby next, Cameron?
Yeah, Rob Russell is leaving Leinster to join Gloucester for the new season. It was announced today. The 26-year-old has scored 18 tries and 35 appearances for the URC finalists since he made his senior debut in 2021. He was a product of the St. Michael's College troupe, and also featured for the Leinster Academy. He's following Ross Byrne to the King's Home Stadium next season. The outhouse move to the Premiership side was confirmed back in February. While head coach Andy Farrell has admitted he welled up when informing Finlay Beelum he was being called up to the British and Irish Lions squad, the Connacht and Ireland tighthead has joined the 38-player selection, replacing Scotland prop Xander Fagerson, who's been ruled out with a calf injury. Farrell spoke to Sky Sports and outlined why Beelum was the natural replacement.
Because he's in good form, he's very good at what he does. He was certainly right up there in the conversation from the very start as well. He would have been disappointed not to make the group. So we just know that he'll be a great fit for the group going forward. He's the only conversation that I was able to have, because the way that we did the squad announcement, by giving him a phone call and telling him that he was selected within the squad, you know, unfortunately for Xander, but it was one of the best phone conversations that I've ever had.
Great news for Finlay Beelam to be called up, and absolutely what he deserves as well after another great season. Donalyn D15 has been in touch, Richie, to say best commentary from Barry Davis was his understated. You have to say that's magnificent. And he follows us up. I think it was Maradona's second goal in the Hand of God World Cup game in 86.
And I think we had him on the show a good few years ago now at this stage, and I think he was rightly proud of that line, because he said it was in, you know, contrast to what he, I can't remember the exact words that he had for the Hand of God goal, but it was in contrast to what he had said for the Hand of God goal. So it was not preordained, but at least he had that in the back of his mind when he came out with it, and just a genius behind the microphone.
That's turned like a little eel. That's that whole passage.
No. Turned like a little eel isn't Barry's. That was, oh, somebody will correct me, that was on the radio. Okay. And it's on a bunch of the official videos.
Yes.
But no, Barry wasn't turned like a little eel, unfortunately.
We will figure it out. Let us know. Somebody knows. Yeah. I think it was the radio commentary. We will get to the women's squad in just a moment, but an unnamed texter has been in touch to say a massive summer ahead for Evan Ferguson. Thought the manager could have experimented a little bit more last night. Like Will Smallbone, inverted winger.
Yeah, that didn't work. Evan Ferguson playing deep didn't work. I don't know what other experimentation you could have had. Could have just had like an acid freak out and play anybody anywhere and just let them have the ball. It was an awful game. I think that can't be understated. It was both sides were brutal, and it did have a, like, you go back to, what was it, 95 when we drew with Liechtenstein over there in Vaduz. June for Ireland friendlies is never fun, and last night I think was probably the scraping of the bottom of the barrel in terms of rubbish June friendlies for Ireland.
It is a massive summer for Evan Ferguson, though. Like, you want him to be hitting the ground running with a full pre-season before September. So, A, he needs to get a move, but B, he needs to get a move quick so that he does settle in and actually get a full pre-season with whatever team he's playing with. Or maybe he stays with Brighton. Maybe he stays with Brighton and you have somebody who's got a full pre-season and who has got 0 minutes of Premier League football going into September.
João Pedro goes. Like, there's every case to suggest that Ferguson could stay. And force his way through. Now, they might just reinvest that João Pedro money if he goes, and we're back to square one with them. But yeah, whatever move it is, you hope there's a bit of topping into it, and the right interests are looking after him, and it is the right one, because beyond anything else, he needs minutes. And I think the lack of them has really, really hurt him over the last 18 months.
Before we get to Carla Ward's squad, Brian Butler is the radio commentator.
There we go. Like an eel.
Carla Ward.
Yeah, she's left Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe out of the 23-player squad going to the USA for a pair of friendlies at the end of this month. So the Arsenal winger has been given time off following her Champions League winning season with the Gunners this term. Aoife Mannion, Heather Payne, Tara O'Hanlon, Jamie Finn, Lily Ag, Jess Sue and Leanne Kiernan also missing out on those games in Denver and Cincinnati, while defender Hayley Nolan and midfielder Ellen Malloy have been given their first call-ups to the squad since Carla Ward took over as head coach. Manchester City have signed midfielder Tijani Reinders from AC Milan on a 5-year contract. He's moving to the Etihad for €55 million in time for the Club World Cup, the 26-year-old City's fourth signing of the summer after Reinhard Nouri, Marcus Bettinelli and Rayan Cherki. While Jack Grealish won't be going to the Club World Cup after being left out of their squad, the English international made just 16 starts in all competitions last season.
There's a text in here saying that the line about McCabe being left out is ridiculous. She's being rested and has already said she wouldn't be travelling, has played almost every game last season for Arsenal, one of the players with the most minutes played. I think people may be hooking readers in by saying that she's been left out, but actually she's...
It was flagged, I think, in advance. I think our own Kathleen McNamee had said it in advance of the squad being announced that Katie wouldn't be in it. So,
where do you want to go next?
Go to golf. Rory McIlroy admits he needs to get his stuff together if he's to win the US Open at Oakmont this week. The Down Man completed his collection of major titles by landing his first green jacket at the Masters in April, but he struggled for form since. He missed the cut at the Canadian Open last week and was 47th at the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. And he says there was a period of readjustment after winning at Augusta.
After I win whatever tournament, I always struggle to show up with motivation the next week, because you've just accomplished something and you want to enjoy it and you want to, you know, sort of relish the fact that you've achieved a goal. And I think chasing a certain goal for the better part of, you know, a decade and a half. You know, I think I'm allowed a little bit of time to relax a little bit, but, you know, we're here at Oakmont and I certainly can't relax this week.
As the old saying goes, a major window is a long time in golf. The preview for Quail Hollow was all like Rory, unbackable favourite. Rory slam is on. This is going to be the summer of Rory McIlroy. Now it's like, can you make a case from even being in the conversation for this?
I think he's talked himself out of this one, more or less, more than anybody else. He said the course is impossible, pretty much, isn't he, going into this? So, like, I don't think you can make a case for him. But the thing about it is, with a US Open, you're pretty much throwing darts in the dark, trying to pick a winner, because the course will dictate over those 4 days who actually manages to wrestle at the best.
Yeah, and I think it could be the summer of Scottie Scheffler, really, as things turn out. He's a strong favourite for this. Rory's still one of the favourites, by the way, for this, because he's always going to be, I don't know, when it comes to people putting money on this, he's always going to be like front and centre, but I'm not sure if he really is in the conversation. Let's see. He has been written off famously after his second round at Augusta this year, and we all know how that turned out. So what version of Rory McIlroy is going to turn up over the next few days, we shall see. Do you want to bring us your final story, Cameron?
Yeah, Josh Little has been withdrawn from Ireland's T20 International Series against the West Indies. Captain Paul Sterling revealed that the bowler pulled up in training yesterday with a niggle and has returned to England to recover. So Graham Hume has been drafted in as his replacement. The last of his T20 caps came against Pakistan in May of last year.
Right, so we've got loads coming up over the next few hours. We're going to have Jean de Villiers joining us after the break to look ahead to Leinster versus the Bulls, former Springbok captain. After 8 o'clock, we're going to have Mike Quirk and Cullen Boyle previewing the weekend's Gaelic football action. It is the final group stage round of the All-Ireland Championship. After 9 o'clock, Gavin Cooney is going to be alongside Nathan Murphy to look back on the Luxembourg game. If we had to give the last international window a rating out of 10, Richie, what are we going with?
Oh, Senegal, like, gave it a couple of extra points last night.
We never spoke about this. We got a couple of minutes here. We never spoke about Thomas Tuchel today. And apparently, his own mother is repulsed by Jude Bellingham's behaviour. Stephen Doyle was in the office earlier on reading out John Cross's piece from The Mirror earlier on. And it goes like this. Thomas Tuchel has admitted his own mom has been left repulsed by Jude Bellingham's antics on the pitch. Tuchel also claimed that Real Madrid star Bellingham can be an intimidating presence for his teammates. The remarks are certain to raise eyebrows about a manager talking in such terms about his star player and could put them on a collision course. Bellingham has gained a reputation for having a fiery reputation with referees and has been sent off and banned in La Liga. Tuchel's mum, Gabrielle, keenly follows her son's progress, which my favourite part of this, which is good news.
At least she's aware she has a son.
Good news for Thomas. And clearly has doubts about the England midfielder and particularly the two sides of his personality. Talking on TalkSport, Tuchel said, I think it has to be the other way around. How we can have the best version of him and the best acceptance that people understand what he is bringing to us and that he is bringing a certain edge. But I see that it can create mixed emotions. I see this with my parents, with my mum, that she sometimes cannot see the nice and well-educated and well-behaved guy that I see. If he smiles, he wins everyone. Ooh. Yeah. It's a bit. Give us a smile there, Jude.
He's not dropping Jordan Henderson either. That was the other upshot of that TalkSport chat today as well, which was, I think, interesting that he went to bat for him so strongly, which is going to make for an interesting year between now and the World Cup.
For sure.
Because when you get to the World Cup, you can't suddenly drop him.
No.
Even though he'd be, what, 36, 37 by that stage?
I love when a mother wades in. Like, didn't Luis Rubiales' mother lock herself in a church last year during all that?
Yeah.
She did, actually, yeah. Sanctuary.
Did she come out? I'm not sure.
No, and Gio Reyna's mum.
Adrian Rabiot's mother.
She looks after his career, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thomas Tuchel and his mother need to be persuaded by Jude Bellingham in an England jersey. Richie McCormack, thank you for your company this evening.
Gracias.
Cameron Hill, thank you. As I say, we're talking rugby next. Before that, it's the Cash Machine.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.